Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian this morning. I'm Brian Thomas, one of the elders here. Pastor Keene he got sick again this week, and he will not be with us this morning. So Nick Betancourt will be delivering the morning message. So please keep Pastor Keene in your prayers. A few announcements that I have for you. First is the connection card that's in the chair in front of you. If you'd fill that out and put it in the offering plate as we pass it later, and especially if you're visiting with us for the first time, we'd like, if you would, just jot down some information. We'd like to be able to contact you and welcome you. A few other announcements. This week, ESL will be kicking off on February 17th. This will be the registration week, and then we begin with the teaching after that. So there is still room for volunteers if you're interested. Please contact Brian Waugh. Another important announcement, there's this green insert in your bulletin. This is a music ministry interest survey, and Craig is looking for anybody who has the ability to play a musical instrument. If you'd be willing to play in our worship, either a prelude or something like that. If you are willing, he wants me to emphasize you're not committing to do this every week. You're not going to get three different contacts a week reminding you that whenever you're available, we'd be happy to have you do that. So please let us know. And also, if you're interested in a handbell choir, they're looking to try to put together something like that. So if you have any interest, any ability, please let us know. You can put this sheet in the bulletin, or excuse me, in the offering as it comes around later. One other announcement that's not in the bulletin is on Sunday, March 6th at 5:30 p.m. That will be our next congregational prayer meeting. So if you just pencil that in, if you're able to attend, I'd be glad to have you. And one other good announcement for this past week, our newest covenant child was born. If you hadn't heard, Alessandra had her baby, Anastasia. There's information in the bulletin. You can read all about that. So right now I'd ask if you have any cell phones, any other device, to please put that on silent so that we don't have any distractions as we worship our triune God. If you would please stand with me for the call to worship. It is from Psalm 150, and it is responsive. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to praise the Lord with hymn number 53, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Thank you. Father, you are sovereign over all creation and sustain all things by your power. When we think of the awesomeness of your creation, we can say with the psalmist, what is man that you are mindful of him? And yet, Father, your grace and mercies are poured out to us anew each day. We praise you for all that you are and all that you have done for us through the sacrifice of your Son. Receive our worship now as we offer it to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may you be glorified in all that we say or do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. First scripture lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, these kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersa, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. And all these joined forces in the valley of Sidon, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. The 14th year of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with them came and defeated the Rephaim and Ashtaroth Karnaim, the Zuzim and Ham, the Emim and Shava Kiriathim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran, on the border of the wilderness. And they turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Adma, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out, and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits, and as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. It is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of confession. Father, you declare to us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we are honest with ourselves, we know that our sins are too many to name. When we examine our thoughts and behaviors, Father, we are ashamed, and our hearts are grieved over our sins. And yet we know that we have such a high priest who made a final sacrifice for sin when he offered up himself on the cross. And because he is able to save for the uttermost all those who draw near to him, we plead our case before you now, Father. Through the intercessions of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear now our private confession. Father, hear us now as we confess together. O God, our heavenly Father, who in fire and lightning gave the ancient law to Moses on Mount Sinai, and who made the presence of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, manifestly known by the pouring out of your Holy Spirit, grant that we, your people, may repent of our sins and be filled afresh and anew with your good and gracious Spirit, so that we may live out the glorious gospel of grace with all the power you alone can provide. We humbly offer our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the assurance of pardon from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, but repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. The second scripture lesson is from Genesis 14, continuing verses 13 through 24. Then one who had escaped and came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman, Lot, with his possessions, and the women and the people. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of prayer. Father, we come before you now, bringing our petitions for this world, for so many needs, but in particular, an end to this COVID pandemic, something we've been praying for 2 years now. And Father, we continue to pray, knowing that you will answer our prayer, but we just wonder sometimes, Lord, how long? Help us to wait on you and to know that you are in control, no matter what happens. And Father, we pray for peace in this world, especially in Ukraine, where the threat of war is growing by the day. We pray that war may be averted, that no lives will be lost. We pray, Father, for Christians all over this world, especially those who are being persecuted. We pray that you will help them to withstand, to trust in you. And Father, we pray that you would deliver them. We lift up this country. We pray for our president, for Joe Biden. We pray for Congress. We pray for the courts. We pray for Governor DeSantis and all those in authority locally, Father, that you would give them wisdom and justice, that they may govern in a way that would honor you. We pray, Father, for the Tampa area, this place that you have placed us to minister. We pray for the welfare of our community. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be a light in this community. We pray for Southwest Florida Presbytery. Pray for all the congregations and teaching elders who head these churches, Father, that you would bless their ministries, protect them from the evil one. And Father, we lift up the Presbyterian Church in America. We pray especially for the General Assembly this summer. We pray for the logistical challenges that they're facing with hotel space and things such as that. We pray, Father, you would work out the details in a way that they would be able to pull this together and still honor you in everything that is done. And Father, right here in our local church, we pray for the ESL ministry as it resumes. We pray that you would bring many to come to be blessed by it, and that you would raise up all the volunteers we need in order to meet this need. And Father, for our Spanish ministries, we've prayed so long that you would send us the right Spanish minister. We pray that you would send us the right man, and that you would give the session the wisdom and peace to know when we have finally found the one that you want to help us reach Spanish-speaking people in our community. And Father, we pray that you would raise up volunteers to serve with their musical talents and elsewhere in this congregation as we want to reach this community with the gospel. And Father, we lift up our missionaries, Rodney and Jana Davila. We look forward to time with them this spring. We pray that you would bless them in their travels. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes. Pray that you continue to help them recover from illness and bless that ministry. Pray for Don and Leah Vanderplug. Pray for Aldo Munden at RUF and for SIEATN, especially as he's going to be relocating to the Dominican Republic to help head up the ministry there, Father. Bless all these missionaries and on their various needs, which you know, Father. We pray for members of this church, for Ken Jackson and Loretta Jackson, that they would continue to recover from illness. We lift up Alonzo James, especially his ministry as a deacon here. And we lift up the Johnson family, Dina and AJ and Abby, Ashley, Alex, and Andrew. Father, you know all the needs of these saints. We pray that you would sustain them. And Father, for those who have been sick, for Pastor King, we pray for his healing. We pray that he can make a full recovery. And for Diane, who's also been continuing to recover from illness, we pray for Jean Odell and her illness, that you would help her to recover soon. For Marcia Craig, as she continues to recover from surgery, that you lift her spirits, help her body to heal. And for those with ongoing needs, for Tom Colley, for Judy Smith, Becky Yu, Lenore Ball, and former church member Bill Ernest, we pray, Father, you would sustain these. And for those who are homebound, like Ron Quick Jr., for Lee Zambon, Mike and Elaine Colley, Father, make your presence known to these. And Lord, we bring all these petitions before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The third scripture lesson is from Hebrews 7, verses 15 through 25. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand now for the offertory hymn, And Christ Alone. The words are in your bulletin. Let's pray. Father, you tell us in your word it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, Father, we pray now that you will accept these offerings that we give to you cheerfully. We bless them for the glory of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Stand for the doxology. Be seated. Good morning. Our sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 14, the whole chapter. So if you have your Bibles or your bulletin, please open there. Genesis chapter 14, the sermon title is Our Shelter and Shield. Our Shelter and Shield. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And as it goes forth this morning, continues to go forth, I pray that you would be present, working through me as I preach this sermon. I pray that your spirit would illuminate your holy word so that the people of God may be blessed by your truth. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. It is a dangerous thing to seek shelter in the wrong place. You're much more vulnerable if you place your trust foolishly in things that just shouldn't be trusted. I know all of us can probably think of times in our lives where we sought shelter where we shouldn't have. For me, it was my high school and early college experience.
I was constantly seeking shelter in the wrong places, in various groups of people. I tried sports. I tried the cool kids. I tried to find shelter in romantic relationships. Things got really bad when I tried to find a home in the party groups. And during my early recovery days in rehab, I sought shelter in the rooms of places like Narcotics Anonymous. But everywhere I looked, I got swept up in worldly troubles like Lot. Like Lot. I placed my faith in all the wrong places. I sought blessing from all the wrong sources. So where was I finally able to find shelter and protection from the world? In God, who placed me in a community, a fellowship of believers, which is God's aid in the midst of trouble, God's aid in the midst of a chaotic world. And when I found this community, or better said, when God, through this community, found me and rescued me, God granted faith, knowing that this community ultimately cannot be harmed by the world's attacks, because God is faithful to His covenant people. True blessing does not come from the world. God is our shelter. God is our shield. And we, brothers and sisters, in Him can never be shaken. So our big idea this morning, thesis this morning, is this, that since God is faithful to us, His covenant people, we must have faith that He alone is our shelter and shield. As we begin, let's draw our attention then to the first 12 verses of this kind of long passage, and where we see that since finding protection from man leads to captivity, we must find shelter in God, who is faithful. Now, you may remember in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis that Lot has moved away from Abram. He moved as far as Sodom, separating from Abram, who at the end of chapter 13 came to dwell at the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. And the very next thing we learn in the sacred history is that the result, in chapter 14, our text, the result of Lot's foolish decision to move to Sodom. What we have here is framed by what just happened, him moving away from Abram in chapter 13. Now, it's also vitally important for this passage to understand something about ancient Near Eastern covenants. We call these suzerain treaties. It's just a fancy term, but it's not very complicated. The suzerain was a great king. He was a great king of a large area that would often take over a place of a lesser king, who we would call a vassal. A lesser king meaning a king over a smaller area. And basically the suzerain would come in and say, hey, I will protect you from enemy forces, but you have to pay me taxes and things like this. It's somewhat like the mob. So understanding a bit of how these covenants worked, and the suzerain and the vassal, the suzerain being the big king and the vassal being the little king, will help us understand this a bit of what's going on here. Furthermore, there's lots of kings mentioned in these first 12 verses, and it could be very confusing, at least if it's your first time reading it, so let's break it down quickly. The four kings of verse 1, if you see verse 1, there's four kings. We will call them the Eastern Kings. They come from the East. Eastern Kings, Chedorlaomer being their leader, as it says in verse 5, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. So he was the leader of these Eastern Kings. He was the big guy, the big king. Verse 2, we have the kings who rebelled against the Eastern Kings. Okay, we will call them the Dead Sea Kings, or the Salt Sea Kings, same place. That makes it easy. Eastern kings, Dead Sea kings. Dead Sea kings are the vassal kings, the lesser kings, who rebelled against Chedorlaomer and the Eastern kings. Hopefully that helps frame things for you. So they are the ones that the Dead Sea kings broke covenant. They broke covenant with Chedorlaomer. They rebelled, verse 4. Now the Eastern kings then decide to go on this big military campaign. They're headed towards the Dead Sea, and after wiping out a bunch of peoples, as you read, the Eastern kings finally battle the Dead Sea kings in the Valley of Sidim, the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea. They wipe them out. Some are running into tar pits. Some flee for the hills. But in all of this, Lot is kidnapped. Lot is kidnapped. And remember, Lot had a lot of stuff. Lot was a rich man. And so his house would have significantly increased the spoil of war for the eastern kings. And notice the text very purposely points out that Lot is dwelling in Sodom, verse 12. Moses just told us, quote, this is chapter 13, verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. And so you see, Lot decided to make his home among the wicked, and he pays the price. He saw that the cities were well watered, like Egypt. Lot chose to dwell in a place that was like Egypt, a place of enslavement, a place of captivity. And the result of his foolishness is his kidnapping. But it's not only that he dwelled in Sodom, but also because he should have trusted in God's faithfulness, like Abram, rather than in human society, seeking shelter in Sodom. It's so easy then for us, isn't it, to be enticed by what the world has to offer, to place our faith in man rather than in our faithful covenant-keeping God who gives shelter. There was a young man I mentored a while ago, years ago, named Rodney. He was a foster care kid who found himself over and over again in trouble. And the first time I met with him, he was in jail, Pinellas County Jail, was on the phone with the video. So he was a troubled young man. He was in a house for young troubled men to get them back on their feet after the foster care system, like a transition house. And he was coming to our church after he got out of jail, and he seemed to be going in the right direction. But after a few weeks, he started to drift. He started to drift away. You can even see it in his face when I was leading worship. So we pleaded with him. I said, Rodney, you need Jesus. You need to place your trust in him who provides. Make your home here. May your community be here. You see, he was finding community elsewhere, going back to his old ways. You're going to end up in danger, we said to Rodney. Rodney's heart was already beginning to be taken captive by the world once again. And sadly, one morning, soon after this, I get the call that Rodney was out in the middle of the night acting a fool and ran his motorcycle into a light pole, and he died at age 19. You see, Rodney placed himself outside of God's protection. His heart's desire enticed him and led him to do foolish things, and it cost him his life. In the same way, for us, if you aren't plugged into Christ and his people, if you are trusting in human society or the ways of the world, then you're in danger. Do you trust in God who's faithful to his saints, or human society to protect you and to provide for you? Is your heart with Christ? You see, if God is our shelter, if God is our shield, then he provides that defense partly through his people, the church. You can break it up in two ways. How is God our shield, our shelter? One, through his glorious protecting and governing of all of our lives as a loving father, which we call providence. And two, through his people, fellow believers. In God and his people, there's help, there's encouragement, there's blessing. And so I ask you this morning, who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in government rather than the Lord? Are you trusting in your 401k rather than the Lord? Do you trust in your skill and your intelligence or your leadership qualities, your beauty, your own reasoning skills rather than the Lord? Is your trust in your job and its ability to provide rather than the Lord? Do you trust in your doctor rather than the Lord? You see, these things are good things, but not when we misplace our trust and we take our trust away from the Lord and first and foremost place them in these things, you see. In comparison to our trust with the Lord, everything else in the world should look like we're putting our feet on it. As the old Puritan Thomas Brooks said, he said, a true-bred Christian, I like that, a true-bred Christian will set his feet upon those very things that the men of the world set their hearts. See, we must have faith, brothers and sisters, that God is our shelter and our shield from the world, no matter where we are, no matter where we live. Even if you're like Paul, shipwrecked, apart from God's people. However, Don't place yourself outside of God's protection like Lot. Foolishly placing your trust in things that should not be trusted. Who can we trust but the Lord? And so we see God is faithful. He is our shelter. He is our shield and protects us from captivity if we place our trust in Him. And so let's draw our attention to verses 13 through 16. As we see now, we will see that God is faithful even to His people when they are taken captive due to their misplaced trust. See, God is a compassionate, gracious God. God rescues His people from captivity, and so we must have that same love for our kinsmen in Christ. So let's look at 13 through 16. We see Abram is told about the dilemma, about Lot, and so he prepares to rescue him. He prepares to rescue Lot, his kinsman. And in this, we must notice the faith of Abram. Not long ago, Abram is frightened by pagan rulers, as he was scared of the Egyptians, particularly Pharaoh. Here, what do we see? Abram's planning his own military campaign. See the faith of Abram, don't you? He wisely, knowing he's outnumbered, chooses to attack at night. But we see his faith. You can't look at an enemy so much greater than you and say, yeah, let's do it. Let's go to war, unless you're crazy, or you have a God-given faith. We see many examples of this in Scripture. We see David doing a similar thing. Remember in 1 Samuel where David says this in the face of Goliath. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, the heart of faith. And so Abram, in faith, the forefather of the faith, stepped out in faith, battled the enemy, and God gave him the victory. So we see the compassion and the graciousness of God towards Lot and his house. Lot was not wise for dwelling in Sodom, was he? Trusting in human society rather than in God's covenant faithfulness. But Lot was a saint. He was a child of God, and God loved him. The Apostle Peter refers to Lot as righteous Lot. You see, righteous Lot in 2 Peter. And he uses Lot as an example of how God delivers his people from earthly trials when they are trials that are brought about by wicked men. And Peter says this, 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God is a rescuing God who rescues Lot, even though Lot has acted foolishly. Lot was a child of God. So Abram was God's means to save Lot from his trouble. He was showing brotherly love towards Lot. He loved Lot as himself. And God, through faithful believers then, don't we see that God, through the faithful, encourages believers, helps our kinsmen in Christ who are in trouble, doesn't he? Our bodies can be a good illustration of this. Many people suffer from back pain. Almost everyone. Some sort of back pain. Now, if you have very severe back pain, this doesn't apply, but just your regular back pain that most people struggle with, this does. Our low back is a pretty small, weak muscle, and so what should be done, instead of just stretching it all the time, that doesn't really fix the issue, is to strengthen your glutes and your hamstrings and your hips. And that, those more dominant muscles, will help your lower back and lift it up in its weakness. And you see, the low back needs the strength of the more dominant muscles. The glutes, hamstrings, and hips will protect your lower back, lift it up in weakness, and the low back will stop compensating for the weak glutes and hamstrings. And so the other muscles lift it up, they aid it, they support the lower back. And in the same way, we all, brothers and sisters, at times of weakness where our stronger brothers and sisters, stronger in that moment, full of faith, come by our side, they lift us up, they support us in brotherly love. And that's what Abram did here for Lot. Our God is a rescuing God. And so may we have that same heart that God has for our brothers and sisters when they are struggling. Remember the words of Jesus, no love is greater than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And so I charge you to love your fellow believer like God does. Care for them when you see them being taken captive by the world. Sometimes we don't even care enough to warn each other when we see such a thing. For example, as Paul says in Galatians 6, if your brothers or sister, if you see them in a transgression, you who are spiritual should go to them. in a spirit of gentleness and seek to restore that person. Or in extreme cases, remember the words of James in James chapter 5. He says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Let's love our fellow brothers and sisters like that. And if you are a person here who are currently struggling, trusting the Lord, maybe currently being taken captive by the world, know that the Lord and His people are a shelter and a shield for you. God is a loving Father even when we, His people, suffer due to our foolishness. He's full of compassion. Listen to these marvelous words from Isaiah 57, 17 through 18. Hear these words. This is in the face of Israel's idolatry. God says, "Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him." You see that? Compassionate God. I've seen his backsliding. I've seen his wicked ways. But I will heal him. God is good. And he loves his people even when our suffering is brought about, like Lot, by our own sin, our own foolishness. And so we need not neglect God's shelter. And knowing that God, through his providence, upholds us, we should seek him in prayer. But also he protects us through the assembly of the saints, where we find help and support, encouragement in times of trouble when we're struggling. For the church, we are a kingdom of priests. And what do priests do? In part, they help support one another, the flock of God. For every Christian in here knows that our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We need each other. There's this song I like by a pretty new Christian band called King's Kaleidoscope. King's Kaleidoscope, maybe not. And the song is called Backwards. The song is called Backwards. It's about backsliding. And he's expressing how sick he is of his own foolishness. And he says this. He says, "I shut the book." That's the good book. "I shut the book and hit the ground. God, I took the long way down. I cut the hook and kicked the crown. I don't break bread. I just regret instead." You see what he's saying? Don't isolate. Don't go to Sodom. Realize that we need each other. And so we've seen the importance of having faith in our covenant-keeping God who rescues his saints, and how the righteous are called to support one another as a kingdom of priests. And now, let's draw our attention to the final section in verse 17 through 24, where we see that since blessing comes from God, him alone, we must have true faith in him, for he will give the blessing, not man. And so after all of this, we learn that the king of Sodom, verse 17, the king of Sodom survived. He survived. And he met with Abram. And then the story in verse 18 cuts to the king of Salem. That's Jerusalem, Melchizedek, who blesses Abram and glorifies the Lord for giving him the victory. Now, literarily, this seems to be done to contrast the two kings and to contrast Abram's response to the two kings. The same verb when it says, in the ESV translates it this way, in verse 17, Sodom went out, the king of Sodom went out, is the same verb used of Melchizedek. Melchizedek brought out. And so what we see here is the king of Sodom is bringing deception. He goes out bringing deception. And Melchizedek is bringing blessing. So it's contrasting the two kings here. The priest king of Salem is a true priest of God. And Abram accepts his blessing, but not the blessing of the king of Sodom. Why? Because Abram's loyalty is to his suzerain, the Lord God Almighty. And therefore, the Lord's priest, who Abram tithes to in verse 20. So now that the eastern kings are dealt with, they're out of the picture, it leaves a vacuum, so to speak. And so the king of Sodom was seeking to place Abram under him. Abram being his vassal. He wanted Abram as his vassal. The covenant king, the suzerain at that time, would be the one who would distribute or dish out the spoils of war. So that's what he was trying to do to Abram. Abram, take this. See, the king of Sodom was trying to assume the role of suzerain in Abram's life. But in faith, it's as if Abram says, no, the Lord has made me promises. The Lord's going to make me into a great nation. And through the priest of the Most High God, the Lord has blessed me. He who possesses heaven and earth. I'm not coming under your care. I'm not coming under your charge. I am a servant of the Most High God. And furthermore, I didn't do this for the spoils of war. I did this to rescue my vassal Lot, from the hands of wicked men, knowing that my suzerain, the Lord, will rescue me. See, Abram accepts the blessing from his true covenant king and refuses to come under the care of this earthly leader by way of covenant. So Abram's contrasted with Lot as well, you see. Lot did not trust in God's faithfulness in the way that Abram does here. Abram's not going with the king of Sodom in the way that Lot did. And so, also, this is the first time in the Bible, as you're reading through the Bible, the first time you hear the word priest. And who is it? It's Melchizedek, meaning king of righteousness. And he comes out of nowhere. No lineage. We don't know anything about him. Interestingly, the Psalms, as many of you probably know, declare that the Messiah will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Psalm 110. And the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, picks this up as we read, and we learn that Jesus is the high priest, our high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And so we see then that all the promises of God are yes and amen in our priest king, the Lord Jesus. God blesses Abram through the mediation of his priest, which points directly to the day the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost, since he's always lives to make intercession for us. It points forward to the day where all of God's people, because of this priest king Jesus, can come to his throne of grace, where we will find help in time of need, knowing that in Christ we have the victory over all of our enemies, sin, death, the world, and the devil. And so may our reliance be upon Jesus' priestly blessing, the way Abram's was on Melchizedek's, and Jesus alone, since he is our shelter and our shield. You know, Rodney was offered the spoil. The world said, Rodney, come under our care, like the king of Sodom. You don't need this priest king those Christians are telling you about. He heard the blessing that is promised to those who have faith in Christ. He heard it explicitly, over and over again. And he said, I will go with what the world is offering. I will go with the king of Sodom. It's like a husband who has chosen one night of adulterous pleasure over his beautiful, faithful wife who's given all of herself to all of him. Let me ask you, would it have worked out for Abram to make a covenant with the king of Sodom? No. True blessing comes from Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, Abram believed that the blessings of God through his priest were greater than anything that the world has to offer. Do we believe that? He placed his hope there. He placed his faith there. Do we? He trusted God that there would be a day all things would be made right, that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that one day all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians says that was the gospel preached to Abraham. Well, God has preached that same gospel to us, but with fuller light, with even a greater high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and has promised to fulfill all of his promises through this priest king. And thanks be to God that we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek then, who always lives to make intercession for us. What greater blessing? What greater blessing? Let's trust in that rather than the pseudo-blessings that the world has to offer. Who can offer better promises? No one but the Lord. And so may we, with the faith of Abram, trust in God like he did, For God is our shelter while we are on this journey. He is our shield. So we see through the work of our great high priest, we have been taken out of the world, been brought into his marvelous kingdom, the church, the society of the ones who have faith like their father Abram, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of help and support under the great high priest whose throne we have free access to find grace and help in time of need. And so you see, God has given us shelter in the Lord Jesus. Christian, God is, has been, and always will be faithful to you. So have you placed all of your trust in our covenant-keeping God? Have you found shelter in Christ, our merciful high priest? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, that although we so often act foolishly, you still love us. And so I pray, Father, as we go forward from this place, that we would trust in you even more. As we go forward this year, may we live lives like Abram, the man of faith, and unlike Lot, who acted foolishly. Pray, Lord, give us the faith to truly trust in Jesus, in him alone, and we pray in his name, amen. Let's please stand together and sing from hymn 529, Love Divine, All Loves. Now, Christian, as we close this service, hear the benediction of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.